It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Mija podcast. I'm here with my friend Ashley Garcia.
Girl, did you almost forget my last name?
No, I was trying to do like a dramatic pause thing, but you know,
good.
The audience was there for it. They were like, oh, Ashley Garcia, she's so magical. That's how they felt when they saw you. There she is, ladies and gentlemen,
hey,
wearing a, representing Northeast LA, wearing a Villas Tacos t-shirt. Jackie just walked into the building. Welcome, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. Yeah.
We have Jesse here doing the Lord's work, rolling blunts for the helpless and anxious.
Bringing water to those
people.
Who have none.
Yes, bringing water to those who have none. And I'm excited to be here with my friend. Hi, Ash.
Hi, Angie.
So, yeah, like I said, you're representing Northeast LA very well right now. And we also wanted to start with a shout out to Northeast LA Memories and Music and Soul. So what song is this?
This song is so beautiful and resonates in my heart forever and always. This song my uncle put on one of his releases, Hood Dreams Album 3, which is one of the many like record labels that he put together. He released oldie, rare and hard to find oldies on. This one has always been one of my favorite. I dedicated it to my man. I suggest y'all do the same to your loved ones.
Like, this man was so very beautiful. Loved in the community. Everyone knew him and knew what he was famous for when it came to putting these collections of music together. And yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Northeast LA. What do you want to say?
Big respects and shout out and love and honor to my uncle Salvador Rodriguez, who brought oldies into my life from a young age. I just remember him shaving his head, ironing his clothes, and bumping his oldies, his records. Don't go near the records. and this is, I got chills. This is where all this love came in. And, you know, he recently passed, and, like, it's just so beautiful that I get to honor him and in every way I can, and that you get to help me honor him. Thank you.
I got the chills with you. He's here, baby girl. He's here. He definitely is. And also, shout out to Villas Tacos.
Villas Tacos.
What do we got to say? We have updates. So I usually do my weekend updates, but part of Ashley's weekend updates is she actually went to the premiere of Echale Ganas, which is the Villas Tacos story. And I want you to tell us about the premiere and what was that like?
It was super awesome. It was held, it was iconic, actually. Let's just start there. It was held at the Highland Theater, which is like, that we got to do Villas Tacos there, like, that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And like, the, his family is from the neighborhood, so it was, like, destined to be that way. Shout out to Shirley and Ulises, who put together this film. They're beautiful people. I met them. One day I showed up for tacos. They interviewed me. We've been friends ever since.
Aww. Yeah. Were you in the film?
No, I was not. They filmed a bunch of people, you know, I'm sure I'm in B-roll somewhere. But they did use my friend Renee Rodriguez. They used a lot of her film, like, from just hanging out with them and the excitement and stuff that they have experienced throughout this whole Villas Tacos story. So they used some of her behind-the-scenes footage in the film. That was really great to have that in the documentary. Again, premiered at the Highland Theater. I love Villas Tacos. They're amazing.
Not only all of that, and they're extremely inspiring, but that shit is delicious. It's just,
the taco is different. It's different. It's overwhelming at first, but oh my god!
Once you get the hang of it and you know how to eat it,
you gotta good. Like. I made a reel about it. Honestly.
I know, right?
Yeah, because I was like, let me just walk you through this.
What song is on right now?
This is Sam Cooke, Good Times. Always a good time with Sam.
And that's the vibe she brought me today, guys. That's the vibe she brought me. And that's the vibe I always get when I hang out with this girl, because you just take me home.
Well, it's Sunday, first of all, so it's a Sunday type of love we're sharing
today. We already know. Art LaBeau connection.
All the time. Oh my God, Art LaBeau connection. Yes.
Remember that?
Well, they had an Art LaBeau concert last night.
Dude, they're going to have one coming up at the Greek Theater. It's going to be
War Theater.
The Midnighters.
Mm-hmm.
Brentwood.
Yeah,
I want to go to that. Yo. Take me on a date. Hint.
I'm trying to make my phone calls to my old connections at the Greek Theater. Like, yo, get me. I used to work there for 10 years.
If you do.
My first concert was the War concert. Yeah, when I was like 16 years old.
I saw War with my dad.
Yeah.
We got to play some War. We definitely will. So yeah, we are doing all of this reminiscing because home memories of home just take you back, and then the memories just make it all that sweeter.
Yeah,
you know, the music is what makes everything, I don't know, more powerful, I guess.
Yeah, you can feel it.
Yeah,
you can feel it.
My weekend updates are Friday. I did my first ever red carpet event, and it was just everything I wanted it to be and more. No, I mean,
you
it
were
was
stunning.
I was thank you.
You were stunning on the red carpet.
Thank you.
Is what you were.
I had to interview people on the like. So let's just set the story here. Jackie, do you want to get on the mic for this because you were there too?
Sure.
Oh, go for it. Yeah, it was such a great event. I was so proud of all of you guys. And I know you were super nervous, Angela. And I don't know why, because you're such a natural. Like, as soon as the lights turn on, like, you're on it. You're on it. You did a phenomenal job.
Thank you, friend.
Yeah, and you guys all looked great. You got to interview Jorge.
Yeah, that was what I wanted to do. I think that's what I was nervous that I feel like the only way I can be good is if I am genuine. And if I'm talking to somebody that I genuinely don't know, then I'm like, am I going to come off as fake? Because this is weird. So I was like, I know I actually know Jorge now after having him on my podcast. So I was like, I feel like I'll actually be able to get a better conversation.
Yeah.
I guess the nervous part for me was the interviewing strangers. Who I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to ask these people.
Yeah.
Like, plus, I haven't seen the movie. And I didn't get to see the movie.
We did it.
Because luckily, it was that successful that it was just packed. And there was only room on the aisle. And I was sitting in the aisle. And the guy that worked there was like, this is a fire hazard. I was like, okay, guess I got to go then.
I know. All of us, we were stuck by the door. We couldn't even go inside because it was so packed. But I am like, knowing Jorge, the director, I'm so proud of him. Like, yeah, we had nowhere to sit, but that's a great problem to have.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's amazing. And how amazing was it to be among so many Latinos, creators,
in Hollywood,
actors,
Latino Hollywood, brown Hollywood.
Eugenio Derbez was there, who is also known for a bunch of movies on Netflix. One of them is Instructions Not Included.
Yeah.
There's another one that's called Coda that's coming out on Netflix. He's like, he's a really famous, like, if you see his face, you're like, you'll know who I'm talking about. But if I'm saying his name, you're like, I'm the same way. But it was so amazing to see that. I'm so proud of him.
I know. It was cool because it seemed like he had a lot of support from, not just because there were people there that I met from Clubhouse. Shout out to Hector.
I know.
Shout out to Leo. Shout out to Val Valdez. I got an interview with Val Valdez. He was like, no one's ever asked to interview me. I was like, well, you have something to say too. You're in this industry, you know, like we interview people to get the best out of them, and there's wisdom in everyone, not just the stars. You know?
Exactly, and that's why we wanted to interview the people that were there to support, like even just their friends were in the movie, or if they knew Jorge, we wanted to know from their perspective too. And like he's the manager, right? He's Jorge's manager.
Yeah.
And so it was great to see that, like, yeah, all the voices there matter. Everybody was there, excited, and there for the same reason, to like support Latinx creators and directors. Yeah. So
that was because what we were at was a film festival, right?
Yes, it was a film festival, but not all of them were Latinx directors. I think, I don't even know how many, but I know Jorge was like one of like the few there. So just to see that, it was really dope.
Yeah, I was so proud of him. Shout out Jorge Xolalpa. I still struggle with that name, but I do my best. So we love you, Jorge, and I still want the link the film, because I still definitely want to do like a little, maybe a mini segment on my thoughts about the film. I love talking about films. First of all, have you guys been watching Squid Games?
First of all, finished the whole series.
You already did? All right. Well, I got to close to the end, and I'm like, this doesn't even make sense anymore. I don't know what's going on. Or maybe I was too high.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Talk about
it's
it.
So good. First of all, these games. Oh, my God.
So Squid Games is a series on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And it's written by who? Where did it come from? Is it Japan, China?
It's Korean, no?
Korean.
It's Korea.
I think it's Korean.
Korean.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was written from Netflix, but over there.
But yes. Netflix needs to give Korea their money more often, because this was so well done.
Well, it's because like they have like really unique concepts.
Yeah. It was way different than what we're used to. And I think it's going to change.
Well, you know, in the Asian culture, they love game shows. And they come with creative game shows.
Right.
So this has like a crazy spinoff. So I'm only on like episode 6, you guys, so don't say too much.
You see, that's why I was like, what do we say? Like, I don't want to give it away.
But it's just amazing. So think of like game shows that they do, like, you know, in the Asian culture, but instead of winning, like every step you lose.
But not
life.
Just games, like kid games, which makes like a whole nother level of like, what childhood trauma are we dealing with here, guys?
I know.
Because this is weird. And also then when
y'all
people started
to the end, I can't, we can't
hey I, look I'm gonna be Shihan right now. Shihan, if you ever went to the Poetry Lounge, shout out to my family at the Poetry Lounge, but if you've ever been there, you know that Shihan is the host, and if you do not want movies ruined for you, do not go. Like, he, this man will just say the
he
end of every movie
out. I've yeah. been there I've yeah. seen him do it
and
live.
Like, you see like the people's face like so heartbroken, like, wow,
there's no going back after that.
So let me just say, when people start dying, it's a lot to handle for me. I was like, I'm a little bit too sensitive with movies.
The first,
so I feel like I'm in the movie.
My mouth was just dropped.
The first episode.
Yeah. Not prepared.
You will not be able to guess what happens in this series. So I think we did a good job at not saying everything, but definitely people die. So prepare yourself if you're an empath.
So, trigger warning.
Trigger warning.
This is a trigger warning. No, we did a service.
If
today.
You're an empath, please prepare adequately.
Yeah.
Make sure you have your sage nearby. So what else? And then Saturday, what did I do? So wait, so shout out to Jorge. Shout out to his film, Melancholia. You can, I don't know if they'll be able to stream it or.
Yeah, you can stream it from his website.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I'll send you guys the link and then you guys can get it on our Instagram on TGN Latinx.
Cool. So on Saturday, I went on a little double date and we went to Brooklyn Pizza. At Brooklyn Pizza, Brooklyn Ave Pizza, in somewhere in East Los, right there on Cesar Chavez. But I would just want to say the lemon pepper wings were dry.
Dang, okay. Oh, dry.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. But the pizza, the OG slice of pizza, that was good. People were going to be like, man, fuck this bitch.
Like, wait a minute, what? You're going to start your own segment, like Angela's reviews.
Here's what I love, everything.
And real-ass reviews, okay?
No, yeah, that real was real-ass reviews. I appreciate that because I like me some lemon pepper chicken.
No, don't get them.
I would be disappointed.
Don't fucking get them. Don't get the horchata. Don't get the garlic
so wait, did
parmesan
y'all like
fries.
This place or not? Did y'all have a good time or
should
what?
I not go?
She said shout out.
This is not a support. This is not a critique. This is a real ass review.
Review.
Okay, no. But let me tell you what I did like. The Jamaica guava drink. Wow. 10 out of 10.
That sounds bomb, actually.
No, yeah, okay. 10 out of 10.
I like that combo.
Refreshing. Also, the OG slice of pizza, fire. Delicious. Definitely get that. And the ranch, out of this world. 10
and
out
the
of 10.
Ranch?
The wow.
The ranch.
They
ranch
make,
if you know
they make
ranch,
their own ranch.
If you know about ranch, you know that ranch is not all the same.
I was just going to say that. I appreciate that review on the ranch because not all ranch is the same. It's like
not
this
created
one
equal.
Watered down, or this one's too thick, or too blue cheese. Like, you just need the right
y'all,
mix.
Y'all, I can't yeah. believe y'all.
Yeah, the ranch is real. It's really, really real. So, the ranch was great. Definitely don't get those garlic parmesan fries because there was some pink sauce on them that I did not know why it was there.
That makes no sense.
And you know when I think things are trying to, they're just trying to make it look real, like,
different,
some type
fancy.
Of way? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, no, some things you just got to stick to the.
It wasn't aioli sauce?
Aioli sauce?
Is that aioli? Or
no.
Aioli.
But that's like oil or something.
No, it's pink sauce, isn't it? The aioli sauce?
Oh, like, it can be, yeah.
Right?
It can
it
be.
Might have been that.
Maybe. I don't know. Was it sweet? The sauce wasn't sweet. I don't, yeah. But anyway, so we went to this place, and then I had dinner with my friend Jen and my friend Tor, and I was really excited to have them there. We hung out with Jesse, and we just, I don't know, I haven't got to hang out with Jen in a while, and we just had a great time. So I'm, you know when you just see your friends, you don't even have to be doing anything revolutionary?
Yeah.
It's just like, I just missed your energy.
Just being in their presence.
Yeah, I missed your energy. So shout out to Jen, love you. Okay, and what else do we have? So I invited my friend Ashley here, but she was going to come last week, but then it didn't happen. But that's okay because I got to interview Jorge. It was like God worked out. Exactly. Yeah, it definitely worked out.
Everything works out.
And I never, like, take shit personal. I just never do.
No, I know, and I love you for that because you know how I be with my antisocialness sometimes.
With, and our ADHD and our depression and our fucking moodiness, like, whatever it might be. Like, there's, I love you, you love me. There's no reason why we should take anything like that personal.
Right?
You know?
And you're the best. Because
and what I'm talking about is like, oh, if somebody doesn't test you back right away.
Exactly. I was just about to say, like, she'll send me a text asking me a question and I'll reply 2 days later. And she's just like, thanks. Like,
ready
we're
for
the answer. Good. Yeah. Like,
you gotta
thank
be
you so much. Like,
understanding of just who people are and appreciate people for how they already are without wanting to change them. And like, just, I don't know, being, because you want the same grace.
Yeah.
You know, you want that same grace. So I asked you to be here because you are doing so much, Ash. Like, you really are. And I'm just proud of you, and I want to like showcase you to the world and show everyone what you're doing, and just give you an opportunity to explain all of the intentionality behind everything you do, because it's not just, you know, you don't just like come up with things, you know, for the sake of doing shit. Everything has a meaning, and everything is community built, as you always say, and everything is centered on brown girls.
Yeah.
And so I just welcome to the Millennial Mija podcast again, because she's already been on the show before.
This is like my third time.
Yes.
We are veteran at this point.
At this point. So tell me about the most recent event you did, or okay. Tell everybody like what you, how you started Brown Girl Travels. Like, what is it?
Okay. So real quick, brief recap. Brown Girl Travels was created. I started in 2017 to make a small zine for my niece to inspire her to travel, because I never saw myself represented in any type of way in the travel community or in the mainstream travel community, and I didn't want her to have those struggles. So I started creating this little small zine. It was like a little passion project. And then I started to look up online fun facts about women of color in history who have done these travels. And it was at this point that I realized there wasn't much documentation on that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, nah, but I know these stories are there because I know women who are these women who have made these travels from country to country and uprooted their lives. And so obviously these stories are there. So I decided then and there I was going to expand this. I opened up the platform. Shout out to Jessica Salgado, because she was the one that reposted my first like call for submission and really like gave me the street cred that people were like, okay, I'm willing to jump on board. And so many people at that point were like, can I be a part of this? I want to be a part of this. 24 women plus myself were a part of the first one. Mm-hmm. And then that was the history of it. That's it. I kept going ever since then. I got the Instagram, been building the community, been doing small events, and recently just did my biggest event.
Yes.
It was the BGT back to school event. I really, really, everything I do is community built. So obviously I wanted to do something to give back to my community, and I love the babies. So back to school event.
It all started with your niece.
Yeah, exactly. It all started with her. So this is for the youth. Obviously didn't do it alone. Community bill. You were there. You hosted one of the workshops.
Yeah.
I had one of my childhood friends come and host a workshop who you jumped in on with. That was amazing. We'll talk about that briefly.
It was like an impromptu collab.
Yes. Yes. What did you guys do? What did you guys have in there?
Well, the event was running a little late. So you said if we could combine our workshops, mm-hmm. and it was just like, I never even thought to do something like that. But then as soon as it was like suggested, I was like, absolutely, we could do that. Like, that makes so much sense. So Liz Villa.
Yes.
Shout out Liz Villa, who is also just like a healer and a bright light in this community. And also one of the many co-workers of Villa's Tacos.
She's on the Villa Taco team.
She's the team.
She's the manager. She's running the game, part of running the game.
So she also, one of her many talents is playing sound bowls. Mm-hmm. And so sound healing, right?
Yep.
So she had been already doing this, like giving workshops like this. And
well, actually, it was her first workshop.
Really?
Yeah, it was her first workshop. I mean, she's done virtual workshops like on the computer, but this is like her first time in present with like a bunch of people. And so I thought it was beautiful that like, because I know you've done it before, and I felt like she would pick up that energy from you, you know?
Oh my gosh,
also,
it worked.
The sound bowls, I knew were gonna go into whatever you were doing, because like
it's about healing.
It's healing, yeah, and that's your vibe.
That's my vibe. So that's like the overarching theme. And then Liz was able to play the sound bowls and also lead a meditation, and that was like centered around connecting to your heart. And which is like what you essentially have to do in Season of Self. So it just all went together like in just magic way. And so it was a really cool experience for me, because I had never incorporated anyone else like that into my workshop. But it just worked like perfectly. So that was my experience there. What else happened at the event?
We also were so lucky to have Giselle of El Barrio Athletic Club come and do a free self-defense workshop for the community. It was really beautiful. She taught the babies some really nice moves, like how to defend themselves. I sat in for a while. I had a great time. She came all the way from San Pedro.
Yeah.
All the way down here. And then we also had the Los Angeles Mariachis.
Yes!
They were...
That was my favorite part.
They brought so much love and intention and like... Honestly, the whole thing would have been a failure if they didn't come. I would have cried in the corner if they didn't come.
It was like the cherry on top.
Yeah, exactly. And shout out to Los Angeles product. La Familia Edibles for sponsoring mm-hmm. and like bringing them into my life because they're amazing out. And they're constantly bringing the mariachis with them to the dispensaries and like bringing that culture there. So wow. it's not it, like that. That's how I knew that they knew them because they've been doing that. So I love it. They're always putting it down for us and I love them.
I love that.
La Familia
and Edibles. all of the vendors
some of them were my family members, some of them were my friends, some of them were people I had never met, most of them popping up for the first time, and the whole thing was a success. All of them did so well. I'm so I think that was like the best part for me too. My friend Nicole had a clothing swap.
Shout out Nicole.
She was giving away free clothes and there was so many people with happy faces
and cute ass clothes,
right? No, yeah, some cute stuff. My only regret was not rummaging myself.
Yeah, I saw but something I leopard back, and I forgot to get it,
right? I stood back and watched the babies go and their happy faces, and it was so nice. And mm-hmm. the whole event was beautiful, and it was held in Frogtown, the neighborhood I grew up in, Northeast Los Angeles. Shout out to First Impression Studio and Frogtown Marketplace, which is popping down today. It's their 1 year anniversary.
Until what time?
2 to 8.
Yeah, so might hit
that up. Make that happen. It's beautiful Frogtown, Northeast, the Legion Valley area. But so I think that it was in the neighborhood that I grew up in.
That made it even more meaningful.
That's full circle for me. That was everything, mm-hmm. you know, and it was important that I give, before when I was planning the event, people had offered venues to me that were like in downtown or South Central. And like, that would be amazing to give back to those communities. But like, I really wanted to start at home. Like it was yeah. important to me to, if this was going to be my first big one, you know, so full circle. Here we go. Yes.
I... Dude, the event felt like this.
Yeah.
It felt so like, what do you call that? I don't know. What is this feeling?
It feels like home.
Yeah.
It feels like home.
I hope they don't kick us off the...
I know. Jen, do Instagram.
I'm all war. Come on. Chill. You guys are from East LA. Chill out. This is a local show. But we have no legal team. But yeah, the event just felt so, and it was like not too hot, not too cold. It was like the perfect summer day.
It was really nice.
And
we were giving away backpacks.
Yeah, I mean,
so the whole thing was we were giving away. I'm sorry. Thank you for bringing me back to center. You were so good at doing that for me. So we were giving away backpacks. Again, a bunch of people pitched in on putting these backpacks together, and we had a bunch of school supplies. We had shirts from La Serena provided in there. We had like iPad chargers in there. All the good stuff. And we were just giving these backpacks out for free to the babies. And I just love seeing these little babies come and pick stuff. Somebody came from, I think, Santa Barbara and donated another. I had 100 to give out. They donated another 30 or 40.
Oh, wow. Beautiful, so what school did you really end up nice giving backpacks. Them to?
Well, okay, so these backpacks, okay. So somebody donated 300 backpacks to me. I donated the first 100 to Annandale Elementary. I donated another 100 to Alessandro. I gave away 100 the day of the event. And then I gave a bunch of backpacks, some really nice backpacks that were donated to me, to Nadia.
My friend.
Your friend. I was the first time meeting her when she came to pick up the backpacks. It was awesome because she is a counselor at a school in Altadena now.
At Mir. Yeah.
Yeah, at Mir. There you go. Yes, shout out to Nadia.
Shout out to Nadia at the Girls Center. I've went and performed over there for the girls in her program. And it's called the Queens Program at Mir. And Nadia just brings that her own version of self-love and her own, you know,
it's
she just...
It's an essence. It's yeah, honestly she definitely, a beautiful essence.
She definitely inspires that for her students. I know she loves them so much, so shout out to Nadia.
Yeah.
What else happened at the event? I mean, I had like a pepino... What did I have? A paloma? From who was there?
That was my cousin Jonathan. Jonathan called me like the night before the event and was like, "What's up, little Ash? Can I pop up too?" And I was like, "Why you do this to me? Why you stress me out? Give me bald spots the day before my event." It's 10:30 at night. This dude calls me. He was like, "Come on, I want to sell alcoholic beverages. No one's doing that."
No.
And I was like, "All right, well,
it's my own niche.
You fucking call your cousin Moses and see if y'all can set up together." They did. They said they made it work. They, my cousin Moses and him, they set up together. They shared the table because at that point I had no more space.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I didn't taste the alcohol, and so I would like an opportunity to taste another one. I'll give you a second chance.
It was his first time.
Well, the actual drink itself was really good.
It was really good. But did you also try the awas from Vegano.
Oh, the big one? Yeah, yeah. Someone, yeah. I think I shared with him.
I forgot his.
They sold out, right?
He sold out. He left early because he sold out. Everything was gone. And it was his first pop-up, too. Came all the way from Pomona.
All because you, Ash?
He was your friend's friend.
What
Filipa,
friend?
Priscilla. Priscilla, yeah.
Shout out to Priscilla and Filipa's, what's the name of it?
Baked Goods.
Baked Goods. We love you. And everything you eat, everything she makes is fire. And it's all vegan.
And she sold out, too.
Yeah.
Everybody was selling out.
She has, what was it? Tres Leches Cupcake. Oh, I didn't get to taste it, but he ate them.
It had a straw in it. Was that the one? The one with the straw? It was bomb.
It was I didn't get to taste it.
I was like, what's in there? Alcohol? Like,
why is it got cola?
What I thought.
Man, well, that event just felt like home, like we mentioned. And it's just a blessing to be a part of this stuff with you, Ash. Like, I really am just proud of everything you've been able to accomplish for Brown Girl Travels, but also how you, like, constantly bring the community into everything that you do. And it's just, it's like you're an example. You know, you definitely are an example of being a self-starter, because that event, you had no idea what you were doing. So tell me a little bit about the process of creating the event or, you know, even planning an event. How did you even get started?
So one day I was walking to McDonald's. I was going to get McDonald's. It's like a block away from my house. And I was walking by this like empty parking lot. And I was like, you know, it would be really dope to have like a festival here where I could have like workshops or something. And then I went on to Instagram. I was like, yo, Instagram, if I were to have an event, like, what would you guys want? And people were like, we want workshops. We want a panel. We want vendors. I was like, y'all slow down. Like, so I gave what I could. I think I provided pretty well-rounded. I did the workshops, I did the community drive, and I did the vendors. And at that point, I just started drawing it out. And I was like, all right, I can't make moves until I get a venue. So at that point, it was finding a venue. And like I said, a few people had offered. I put it out into the world. Like, I want this to happen. It honestly manifested itself. It became its own entity. And I... forever grateful to everybody that came in and were like, yo, like, let's, how about this? And how about this? Offered me advice. But quick shout out to you though, because you're like hyping me up over here. But before we were friends, like, I was hella looking up to you. Like, you were my role model. I went to Chingona Fire when you and Jessica Salgado did a performance at the Avenue 50 studio.
That was our first one.
That was your first one. And I went.
We didn't know what we were doing either.
Y'all had an elote man.
Yeah, we did.
You had the famous Highland Park elote man. Yes, He's not around anymore.
Yeah.
Y'all set the tone for me, and ever since then I was like, yo. And then it was free too to the community.
Yeah,
the community came and were a part of that, and y'all created this beautiful atmosphere. I still have pictures from that day, and like, I've always looked up to you and Yessie, and that I get to sit side by side to y'all now, like, it really means, like, I feel like I've arrived.
Bitch, you've been here, man. Thank you. That's, yeah, Chingona Fire was definitely a very important moment in LA, like, for Latinas.
Yeah.
Because it was like there was nothing like it, you know, and it was a open mic that we just kind of had an idea for, and we didn't know what we were doing either. But that's the beauty of people who want to give back to the community. Like, you say, what do I have and how do I give this back? And that's what you did with this event. And yeah. That means a lot that our event inspired you to do everything, you know, that you're doing, because we saw that. I see that, you know, in order for Jessica to want to share your stuff, she's not just going to share whack shit.
Exactly.
You know, like, I'm not going to just invite you on here because, you know, I like your t-shirt. Yeah. Like, we have stuff to talk about because we're the same kind of people. Those are like, world changers.
Yeah.
You know, you want to, like, you contribute in your own way. It doesn't have to look like everyone else. It has to look like this is what I have to offer, and this is how I want to help. And we see that in you. So we love you, and I love you, and I'm just proud to have you on my podcast.
Y'all are amazing.
The event was just like definitely a vibe. It was right up against the LA River. We talked about, I had like a podcast about that, right the day after I got to talk about what happened. So go check that out. But it was interesting to be in Frogtown, and just witness the like rapid rate of gentrification. What do you think about that?
It feels rapid, but it honestly, it's taken some time, and like watching this, like it happen before your eyes is absolutely, because it started in Echo Park, and I don't think that we all really, at least from my perspective, I've never really seen it happen. And living in Highland Park and being from, like, Frogtown area, like, watching it happen before your eyes, it started with bike lanes. started with fucking bike lanes. And then they added the lights in the river. And it's like, how come you never brought lights to the river before? What about the community that needs to get to and from their homes or to wherever they're going? And like, yeah. It was a beautiful area, but it was dangerous at night.
The LA River to me was still like trashed. Like yeah. I just never even.
Yo, you got people canoeing in there now.
Literally.
They're canoeing in the LA River. And I was told at a young age, you don't put your feet in there because exactly. That is radioactive.
Yeah. Dude, exactly. Like, man, so I think it's like, what can we say about gentrification that hasn't already been said, but how does it make you feel? Like, what does it feel like?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, there's multiple feelings, but I think the most powerful of the feelings is obviously I'm heartbroken and I'm sad, but that heartbreak fuels a passion in me to want to create more of these community events and show up and be like, yo, we are here. We uh-huh. are still here. We are doing stuff. Do you remember the Highland Park car show?
Yeah.
They used to have that every year. And they don't do that anymore. And that's messed up. Like, that was a small thing. But it brought all the community out. It showed us. We were represented. And I think, like, I want to do more things like that. Well, we're still here. Mm-hmm. Y'all are going to see us. I got chills. We're going to show up. Like, yeah. And I want that. That's what Brown Girl Travels is creating a platform where there wasn't one before and saying, like, there is space for
us. We deserve to be represented here.
Yeah.
And we want to travel, too. So talk to me about expansion. Like, talk to me about what Brown Girl Travels is currently right now. Like, what in what forms can you get it? And what do you see it growing into?
So right now it is a physical print magazine because it was important to me to create something tangible that you could hold on to. Mm-hmm. We are currently releasing the BGT minis, which are also like smaller versions of the magazine so that you can carry with you easily to travel with. And like, you know, we're going to move forward with that for a while. But I definitely want to continue on with community events and documentaries.
That's
the future, really, is like, who am I to really be the one to edit and tell your story? I want to give cameras to girls.
Have you talked to Valentina?
Your own story. No, I have not, but I want to.
Girl.
I love Valentina.
She's our friend who is a documentary filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Brown Girl Travel documentary happen immediately.
Right?
Please yeah. make it happen.
Yeah, we are definitely, Ashley needs to be there. Like, you know, I got to build myself up. I'm honestly still recuperating from this event.
Yeah, it's a lot. It took everything out of me. It's a lot. And I loved how you documented it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, we were literally all just rooting for you, you know,
yeah,
like.
Thank you.
And even the breakdowns, even the anxiety.
Yeah, because it's so real. Everything I do is absolutely genuine, and I want people to get the genuine experience so they can see it's real and it's not just all butterflies and giggles and pixie dust, but it's doable.
Yeah,
you could do it. You could be going through grief and heartache, but you could still do it. Mm-hmm. And like, watch me and know that like you can do it too. You know, so it's kind of hard because you're sharing yourself really publicly and personally, and I'm like not one to like to cry in the camera or in front of people. So that was really rough. But like, I also everything I do on BGT is genuine and a representation of myself, so I had to be real.
We can feel that. We can definitely feel it. You mentioned grief, and so I want to take us there for a little bit because I know that a huge part of, if not 100% of what you do for the community comes from the love you got from your mother, and the process of grieving her passing recently. Can you talk to me about what that's been like?
It's been the worst thing I've ever had to deal with in my entire life. And I think that's going to be true for everybody when they go through that loss or if they have been through that loss. And I was in no way ready for it. And, you know, I guess you're never really ready for something like that. But so navigating life and afterwards it's been a really struggle for me because it's like I want to kick and scream and cry and be sad and be a little girl. But my mom would not want that. And yeah. So it's like, how do I honor my mom and continue to live life in a way that would make her proud and keep her memory alive. And so that is more, that is like keeps me going. That is my strength. That is everything. That is where I find the love that I need to put into Brown Girl Travels. And you know what? All of the stuff that I've been creating, honestly, is just like, I have so much love for my mom that I would physically give her on a, I would see her every single day. I'd go to her house every day, talk to her on the phone every day. So it's like, what do I do with all this love? And instead of, I can't let it go to waste, you know? So you turn it into gold, and I'm going to continue to take my pain and turn it into gold and lay it at her feet for the rest of my life. That never has to change. And so that is the backbone of me and Brown Girl Travels right now, because my mom always wanted to see me succeed, and she always loved giving back. So I think this, she's just like living vicariously through me now and giving me everything I need to go.
Oh, girl, 100%. Well, you just made me cry. No, I know what that is. I know what that grief is like. And whew, when you lost your mom, and just seeing you go through that, you know, the second issue of Brown Girl Travels is dedicated to your mom, and it's all about healing. Talk to me about how creating that issue of Brown Girl Travels was helpful to you during the grieving process.
Oh, honestly, I look back at that and I was like, I feel like I blacked out. I feel like I was possessed and taken over, and I don't know how I was able to do it at all. I'm like, Ashley, you put a whole magazine together in like 3 months with, and it was like my biggest thing I've ever done. Like, I had it done, I sent it to the printers, and they like sent me back a beautiful physical copy, yeah, like with her picture on it, with a spine. They were like, I sent it to print, and they replied to me, and they're like, you need to create a spine because it's too thick. And I was, it's like 100 pages long. And it's honestly a testimony of all of my love to my mom, and how, like, I just didn't know what else to do. And either I crashed and burned, which I did a lot of times, but I could never stay in that darkness, you know? Yeah. It was like, as much as I wanted to, and I want to this day, I could not stay in it. And the possession took over me, and like, I created that out of love.
And it's all about healing. And so it's a collection of articles and what else, like photos. So
I started off telling my mother's story, and you know, how she came from Mexico, and my grandparents, and how they first lived in Cypress Park and then moved to the hills where, you know, I grew up on, and how she met my father. And then I move on to talk about my healing experience, and same thing, like how I wanted to kick and scream, and but how this is happening. You know, this could, there's always could be something better. And so then it moves on to different types of healing. So I include, like my jewelry, for instance. My jewelry is a form of healing. I put it on, I feel powerful. This is her ring, you know. And I made an article about that because I felt like it was important that we talk about how we adorn ourselves. And then there are articles on rituals and how rituals are part of the healing process. And then there are more community aspects of like healing and really taking yourself out there and hiking and being outdoors and healing as a collective. So the magazine is like I say it's broken down into 3 parts, but it's all based on how we heal our like mental, our physical and emotional, and then our collective together.
Yeah. And you did, she did an article on Season of Self in that.
That's right.
Yeah, in that episode, in that issue of Brown Girl Travels. And I turned the article that she wrote into the zine that became the Season of Self zine that went into the Season of Self toolbox. That's a work of art, Ashley. Like, what you created was like you, absolutely what you said, that it's, you turned it into gold. And man, that's the truth, because that thing is going to help so many people. Have you gotten any feedback?
I do, and I still do to this day, and it blows my mind. One of the articles I included that I wrote myself was me going to Santa Barbara on a solo trip to heal. And just yesterday, someone reached out to me and said they were in Santa Barbara, they took the Amtrak, and they were inspired by me to go for that solo day trip. And I was like, wow, I screenshotted it. I was like, this really means a lot to me that, like, I don't even know this girl, you know, so, like, that I'm reaching people that I don't know, like, that tells me I'm doing something, and that nothing I've done is just in vain, you know, it's really reaching people like I hoped it would.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's like, it's so inspiring, and not just the whole point of Brown Girl Travels, which is to inspire people to travel, But because you are who you are and you document your process of creating Brown Girl Travels, it inspires other people to create things that are not Brown Girl Travels, you know, because you do take, you pull the curtain back. And like I say, you show people that I don't got nothing that you don't got.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what's inspiring about it, you know? So talk to me about believing in yourself.
I feel like I just believe in myself so hard that there's just no ands, ifs, or buts when I really want something. Mm. So like, and it's like a power, you know? Sometimes I'm like, do I really want this? Do I really want to put my power and my energy to it? And if I don't, I keep it pushing. But when I want something and I put my heart onto it, like 100%, I believe in everything in me, that I was born and raised with so much knowledge and wisdom, and I was given so much, any opportunities to grow. And now I'm ready to take it. I believe in myself wholeheartedly. Like, there's nothing I can't do. I saw a video of Kanye. I'm not a Kanye fan whatsoever, okay? I'm not. But I saw a video of Kanye. It was like an interview, and he was like, if I wanted to go be in the NBA right now, I'd go be in the NBA. And I was like, damn, I felt that energy.
Little ass. He need to be realistic on some things.
I know, but it's the energy, y'all. Bring the energy with
no,
me.
No, it is the energy. It is the energy. But Kanye is a different type of confident.
Different type.
There's a lot going on there. And I feel like I have watched Kanye grow too, but no, I get you. I get you that, because there, it's almost that level of you have to be so ridiculous about it because your dreams are so big.
Yeah, you have to.
So you like to, you no have to is. Go over the top because, like you said, no one else is.
Exactly.
Talk to me about believing in yourself. So you 100% of the days feel like that?
I mean, no. I mean, there are some times. Well, I am learning to listen to my body and give myself grace, because there are mornings where I feel like I'm just self-destructing, I'm exploding, I'm falling to pieces, and that's normal. And I'm allowing myself grace and saying, hey, we're going to take the day off. We're just going to throw in the towel, and that's okay. That's totally okay. And it's a really hard thing to do, because sometimes, especially in this world where everything needs to constantly keep moving, social media is always watching you. What are you doing? What's happening next? Okay, you finished this project. What's the next project? It's hard to keep up, but I don't have to keep up, because I'm not a social media content creator. I'm an artist. Yeah. I'm a creative, and this is just my platform. It's not. I'm using it. It's not using me. So
say that again.
It's been hard though, you know, because like, again, like you see the decline in the engagement, but my community at this point, I love my community. My community loves me, and they're not going nowhere. And I love them for that 100%. When I lost my mom, I said goodbye to BGT for like 2-3 months. And when I came right back, everybody was there, and they're like, we were waiting for you. Yeah. And that was everything.
Because when it's real, it's real. And you don't, because people will follow things that are popular, but there are things you follow because they're real. Yeah. And I think Brown Girl Travels is definitely one of those things. You seem to be really good at community engagement. Like when you bring community together, community is your overarching theme. Like, what do you have advice for other people, other creatives, on how they can be more community engaged?
Honestly, I think I just really have a genuine, and you said this earlier, like, I have a genuine interest in people, and like, I genuinely love people, and I know that like, everyone is just going through a struggle just like I am, and like, I feel like I have so much love that I just want to love people, you know, like, I meet them, and like, I'm excited, they're looking at me, and like, I'm like, wow, we're looking at each other, like, well, how are you doing, like, I feel them. And so, like, at the event, it was hard for me, because, like, I wanted to engage with so many different people, but, like, I couldn't, like, spare myself enough to go around, you know, but I think that's really it, just having that genuine interest and that love for people, and that's, it's so real, and that's what Brown Girl carries, and that's what the community feels, and that's why we're riding for each other, you know, I ride for them, they ride for me, and, it's just a genuine. I go home though, and I'm tired. Like I said, I'm burnt out. It takes everything out of me. I go home to my man. We smoke. We watch Squid Games. We watch whatever, you know. We put that Netflix and we binge.
Speaking of your man, you guys just celebrated your 7th anniversary at
Disneyland.
She is a Disney adult, you guys.
officially I'm
pushing
30.
Don't get me fucking wrong, okay? I have some downloaded Disney songs on my phone. Like
Colors of the Wind, don't lie. Colors of the Wind.
Absolutely. Honestly, Disney songs are really my jam. Like me and Molly, we fucking love Disney music. Yes. So that's like, and like music from musicals and stuff, like Grease and every, you know.
You know all the words, so you can sing along.
All of the words. But Ashley takes her love for Disney to a different level. So tell us a little bit about your love for Disney. Where did that all start? I mean, obviously the 90s, we're 90s kids.
Okay, well, first and foremost, Disney movies, right? Disney classics. We all grew up on them. But also my parents.
The VHS.
Right? The VHS. Yes, the old school with the old school castle with the blue in the background and not the extraness. Yeah, the OGs. So that is where, you know, obviously I grew up with that. But my parents used to take me and my sister. Thankfully, we were privileged enough to go to Disneyland like once a year. And it was like a big experience for me. And my mom told me, like, you know, when she was younger, they didn't always have that opportunity because there was like seven of them. She even told me one time that my uncle came from Mexico, or her uncle came from Mexico, and my grandfather took everybody to Disneyland to drop his family off, and they had to wait for them.
Oh.
Yeah, and so she, you know, I think it comes like, you know, she was like, my daughters are going to have Disneyland as much as they want, and we did. And so my sister grew up loving Disney just as me. She's 10 years older than I am. She's had an annual pass every year until COVID.
Aww.
I just got my first annual pass.
Hey.
So I was like, step over, Melissa. I'm stepping into the game. Her kids became of age, so they can't get in free anymore. She can't buy four passes. This is just me and my man, you know? So thankfully, we decided instead of like big gifts, we were going to invest in the year pass and celebrate all year long. And it is such a beautiful. I went the Monday. We celebrated Monday after my event.
Okay.
So it was like, I felt like Selena, like when they're like, what do you do next? And she's like, Disney World.
Not Selena.
100%. Dude, that's part of the movie. Yeah. But yeah, so we went to Disneyland. It was beautiful. And then we went again like last Wednesday. We took the bus out there,
But it doesn't stop there, y'all. She also created a Disney account on Instagram to document her obsession.
Brown Girl Disney Dates.
So follow at Brown Girl Disney Dates. But what kind of content are you going to be creating on here, Ash?
I mean, really, it's a place for me to allow my creative like flow of pictures because I love to document Disney. So there's Disney facts. I have all the Disney scoop. You know, Walt Disney's daughters went to my high school.
I'm just saying,
they went to John Marshall High, and the cottages right across the street where the animators were inspired by those cottages for Snow White's cottages, the dwarves.
Wow.
His studio was on Hyperion. It's in my blood at this point.
She loved Disney. I love Disney too, but she's okay. So the account. So
the account is where I could like share my love. Honestly, I want to take pictures of like brown girls having fun at Disneyland, little brown baby princesses.
I love that.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to find one and ask if I could take a picture with them.
The ones that you posted where you guys were going to It's a Small World.
Oh, they were beautiful. They were dressed in Clover's outfits.
That was such a cute
picture. They were like, take
picture.
A picture with us. I was like, no, I want to take a picture of you. And they're like, no, take one with us. I was like, this is the energy. Like, I love them. I hand out stickers while I'm there. Like, if I meet someone at
Brown Girl
like
Travels,
dead ass. Like, I'll pull that one out of my wallet and be like, take a sticker. Honestly, I'm going there and I'm healing my inner child. I have not felt as childlike since, like, before my mom passed. And so I think this is something that I really need just from my inner self, my inner child. And I'm going out. My boyfriend loves to see me prance around and love him for it. He just looks at me and admires me having fun. And like, it really makes me happy. Oh God, I love it. I love that he's as invested in Disney as I am. We got matching sweaters, you know?
That's love. That's real love.
It is.
I love that for you. And I'm going to follow because you know what? I love Disney too. And I'm glad that Ashley just... She took it upon herself to.
My boyfriend was like, another Instagram, so you could ignore me some more.
Well, it'll all be worth it, you guys. I promise, dude. Soon, Brown Girl Travels will have a billion followers, and you will make money from each post because you definitely put in effort to all of your posts and your reels and all of the different things that you make on there. And I do believe that it's going to pay off very soon.
Thank you. We are manifesting a team. We are manifesting more. We are hoping for...
You need some interns.
More, yeah, because it's getting hard to do it all on my own.
If you just want to intern for Brown Girl Travels, what's your email address that people can be like, pick me?
browngirltravels@yahoo.com. Very simple.
Yeah, I told you guys, I didn't tell you, but she has a Yahoo, and I needed her so badly to get a Gmail, and she just would not conform.
I refuse. I don't know why I don't like Google. I don't know. I just, they want to know so much of my life. They want to connect all my things. They want to be in my YouTube. I don't like this energy. I'm so non-tech.
It's
so
more crazy. It's more for lazy people like me who just like to click one thing, sign into Google. Oh, here, signed into everything now.
She's like, she doesn't believe. She's like, what? You have different passwords for different things?
Man, yeah. My fucking passwords, I'm not going to say what it is, but it's like one of the most simplest, stupidest, are you kidding me passwords that you ever could have? What's even point at this point? But so we're getting towards the end, and I just want to say that I love you, and I'm so glad that you're here. And I want to ask you for your message to brown girls who want to travel.
Oh, man.
I'm going to turn on some music, though, so I'm going to give you some time because we need to. We'll play some more of this. We got some comments on there. Yeah, they said I love Disney and Kanye has gems. Okay, sometimes he does.
Not since the college dropout.
Yeah. My mom said, hi, baby. Mama's here. Hi, mama. Aww. Somebody said, your Zoom call at our school was so good. I am so proud of your speech. Thank you, Jesus 2K. Patty Zapata, that's Pastor P. That's the homegirl Fox's mom.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about that.
What's up, Pastor P? We got people in here. Eric. Who else? Oh, where'd it go? Anyways, so did you think of your message?
Okay. So I would say all brown girls out there, just take it. This world is absolutely yours. You can go anywhere you want. All you need is everything on you, and you already have it. That is it. And just trust yourself 100%, and I promise you, it's going to be okay. I literally, through my first time going out into the world, I had no money. I had no hotel. I just had a train ticket to Portland. And I kept saying, the universe is going to take care of me. And then someone got me a hotel room for the weekend. And I was like, you see, the universe took care of that. They're like, no, I did. And I was like, no, the universe did.
They saved my life.
So I'm telling you 100%, just trust in it. If you want it, that it's going to happen. But you got to work for it. You got to invest in it.
Yeah, that's real. I love you, Ash. Thank you for being here.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Millennial Miha podcast. I think we have one more comment. What does it say?
To apply for an internship,
email browngirltravels@yahoo.com.
Who's the real
That's
one?
That's Eric.
The one and
the
only.
The real one, yeah.
Damn, okay.
Someone said this conversation is so beautiful. Shout out to Desiana, whose book release I'm going to perform at coming up next month. Or this month, I don't know, but I will make sure I figure out and tell everybody about it. Her book is called The Becoming of Her, and it's an incredible poetry book about her life. And she's just, I had her on the show, so check that out. But again, thank you, Ashley. Thank you, Brown Girl Travels, and for the rest of your empire, I just only hope that it continues to grow. Love you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Hello? It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.